Today is the 24th day of the month of Tevet, which is the Yahrzeit, the Hilula of Rabbi Shneur Zalman from Liadi, the Baal HaTanya, known also as the Alter Rebbe, the Admor HaZaken. And his teachings are really, really unique. We have here a Seder in the morning that we learn with the men every day. So the 6 o'clock in the morning class that we learn is from his teachings. Very, very unique approach of teachings of Hasidut and Kabbalah. And he has a very unique approach of giving over the teachings and the message. And I just want to talk about something because this is a very strong foundation in that should all apply. His name is a very unique name. It's not called like a biblical name like Moshe or Yaakov or Yosef. And not only that, it's a very name that is not so common. I mean, now it's more common because people name their kids after him. But his name is Shneor. Shneor. It's not definitely not a biblical name. And I mean, now it's a common name, especially in the Hasidic group Chabad, which he's the founder of the Hasidic group. So it's a common name in that specific group. And maybe in some other Hasidic groups it's a common name. But before that, it wasn't such a common name. But even in his name, it's defined of his entire approach. Specifically, he was born on a very unique day, on the 18th day of Elul, which is the same birthday of the Baal Shem Tov. And not only that, it's the day of Elul where we know that 40 days from Elul till Yom Kippur, the 30 days of Elul and the 10 days of Tishrei, they're called the days of Tshuva. And to many congregations, the whole month of Elul, they say Slichot. Some congregations do it in the last week of Elul. But nevertheless, the 18th day of Elul is the day that the work of Tshuva, so to say, kicks in into another level. Because from the 18th day of Elul, every day one can do Tshuva. There's 12 days till Rosh Hashanah. And every day you can do Tshuva for an entire month. So just to point out just a very unique approach, he's also known, I mean, he has many definitions. Most people refer to him as the Baal HaTanya, because he wrote a book that is called Tanya, a very in-depth Hasidic philosophy book, highly recommended to everybody to learn from. And on the other hand, he also made a commentary and on the Shulchan Aruch. And his Psak Halacha is called Shulchan HaRav. And many people follow that Psak Halacha. That is interesting because he took the Shulchan Aruch and gave Psak Halacha, you know, additioning to the Halacha based on the teachings of Kabbalah. So, but when you take his two life achievements, one is a very extreme to one side, in the side of the mysticism, and the other one is a very extreme to the left side, to the oral Torah. But usually they don't really, you know, correlate to each other. Teachings of Kabbalah is one thing, and teachings of the oral Torah is another thing. Up until today, there are certain people that they will go only by the oral Torah. They won't do anything that what Kabbalah says. And some people will go only what the Kabbalah says, and some people do a nice mixture in between. But we see in many teachings that both Kabbalah and Halakha and the Oral Torah, they don't fit to each other at all. And you'll see many times that the teachings of Kabbalah will contradict what it says in Halakha. So interestingly, both of his greatest achievements, one is on the side of the Oral Torah, and one is the side of the mystical part of the Torah. And going into his name is Shneor. Shneor means two lights. When the Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he created every day a few things. On the fourth day, he created the sun and the moon, which it's not the light that he created on the first day. If you follow the creation, you'll see that on the first day, Hashem says, Vayehi Or, and there should be light. Then he really liked the light. He says, Vayar Hashem Ki Tov. Hashem saw that this light is amazing. Then he concealed this light. He put it away. But he says, you know what? I'm going to call the light day, and the darkness I'm going to call night. That's what it says in Sefer Bereshit. And then it says, Vayi Erev, Vayi Boker Yom Echad. It should be a night, should be an evening, should be a day. This will be a whole day. If you attend the classes we do here in the evening for Zohar, then 3 days ago we explained how the day, there's only 24 hours in the day. People say, you ask now a person how many hours are in a day, they'll tell you 24. That's a very big mistake. There's only 12 hours in a day. There's only 12 hours in the day. 12 hours in the day and 12 hours in the night. So why are you telling me there's 24 hours in the day? There's only 12 hours in the day. It happens to be there's also a night that has 12 hours. Vayi Erev, Vayi Boker. Yom Echad. Take the Erev, take the Boker, the night and the day, put them together. So I'm forming a day. But really there's 12 hours in the day. Those 12 hours, they correspond to the 12 tribes. And there's also 12 combinations of the name of Hashem, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. There are 12 ways how you can switch the letters to create one of Hashem's names. Of course, if you can do it in many different combinations, but Hashem has to the name Yud-Kei Vav-Kei 12 combinations. One will be Yud and then a Hey and then a Vav and then a Hey. One will be Hey and a Hey and then Vav and then a Yud and then Yud and a Vav and then Hey Hey. There's 12 combinations. This corresponds to the day. Then at night, the name of Hashem is the name Aleph Dalet Nun Yud that we pronounce as Adonai. Even though we pronounce also Yud-Kei Vav-Kei the same way, that's because we're not allowed to pronounce the name Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. This is called the Shema Meforash, the specific name, and we're not allowed to pronounce it. So we also call it also the same way how we pronounce the second name, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. So in the day, then we have the shining from the word of Yud-Kei, the name of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, with all the combinations. At night, the shine, the energy that's coming, is coming from the name of Hashem, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. That also has 12 combinations. The first combination is Aleph and then Dalet, then Nun and then Yud. And then you have Nun and Yud and then Aleph and Dalet. And there's different ways how to order combinations. I'm talking about the order how the letters come. So from that teachings, we know that every hour of the day, there's a different order in the way how the energy comes down into the world. And if you know exactly in which hour, what combination it is, then you can have the right intention for certain things. Specifically, when a husband and wife, they want to conceive a child, if they know exactly the combinations of the names in which hour, then I know it sounds very technical, but you can aim exactly to what hour to have the conception, that's how you say, the conception of the child, and the neshama will come through a different channel. If you want to look at something interesting, I'll show you something. I have a friend. I have a friend who teaches a very interesting concept of Kabbalah. You can look at this form, Techev. I'll pass it around. That he has here all the combinations of the... This has to do with the months. And every day of the month. And every month he gives me one. And he sits and makes all the calculations. This is specifically for the month of Tevet. Every day, which combination of the names of the letters. You see here it has the combination of Hey Yud, Hey Vav. And then the Hey Aleph Hey Yud, all the, you can pass it around. See, it's so interesting to see, but the energy that if you're interested, you don't have to. But every hour of the day has a certain energy, and every hour of the day, the energy changes. And if you know how to shift yourself to that energy, then the blessing, the hamshacha that comes changes. So, I mean, this can be in itself a very long class. This is not what I wanted to talk about. But, so, when Hashem created the world, He created the world with this unique light. We call it Haor HaGanuz, this hidden light. It shined for 36 hours, and then it was removed. This hidden light, Haor HaGanuz, we spoke about it a couple times, especially in Hanukkah, because this Haor HaGanuz appears in the world for very few moments. In Erev Shabbat, it appears a little bit, specifically on all the festivals. Mainly, the most powerful time that it's, not the most, but a very powerful time that it shines is on Pesach, specifically when we do the Lel Seder, the night of Pesach. And the most that it appears is during Hanukkah when we light the candles. That's why you'll see that there are 36 candles that we light, corresponding to the 36 hours that this light was shining from the creation to the world in the first day till the other half of the day. There's two opinions. One opinion says it was shining for a full 36 hours, meaning Sunday and a little bit of Monday. The more solid opinion says no. The 36 hours were broken into 12, 12, 12, and it was shining Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, in the day, and Wednesday Hashem removed it, and then that's Wednesday Hashem created the sun and the moon, because there was light in the world, and not this light that it says in the Sefer Bereshit, Vayar Hashem Kito, Vayehi Or, the famous saying, and should be light. This light that it's referring to was already created before. When Hashem said Vayehi Or, He just invited the light into the world. And then He saw how amazing it is, how it fits well. You know, sometimes you decorate a room and you'll put a dresser in a certain place. Nah. You put it over here. Nah. You put it here. Wow! Looks perfect there. So Hashem brought this light into the universe, moved it around. Then He put it in the place where our world is. Ah! I love it. Vayar Hashem ki tov. Hashem saw it's beautiful. Let's leave it here. And then came all the angels and says, why are you leaving this light here? Don't you know that man that you're about to create is going to sin in front of you and damage this light? So Hashem says, okay, I will remove this light from the universe and I will bring it only when Mashiach comes. When Mashiach comes, we're going to experience this brand new light that our sages teach us, that this light is going to heal the righteous and kill the wicked. So that's why when Mashiach is going to come, there's not going to be any more diseases. And unfortunately, whoever is wicked will not sustain this light, will technically melt. But nevertheless, this is not the light that what we see now. What we see now is created from the sun and the moon. And that was created on the fourth day. That's a more physical light. But when the sun and the moon were created, they were called Shnei HaMeorot HaGdolim, the two illuminators. And of course, I don't know if you know the story, but of course the famous story says that the moon wasn't happy with the fact that it has to share its crown. And the moon said to Hashem, how can it be two kings sharing the same crown?
So he
just made the moon smaller.
Yeah.
And not only did he make this moon smaller, he made the light of the moon secondary to the light of the sun. The moon doesn't have its own light. The moon gets reflected light from the sun and it reflects it over. So it's receiving light and losing all of it by giving it right away over. What I want to talk about very briefly, because we're running out of time, is that this specific tzaddik that we're referring to that today is his yahrzeit, Rabbi Shneor Zalman from Liadi. Look at his name. His name is Shneor, the two illuminators. Meaning that he took the world of Kabbalah and the world of the Oral Torah and he merged them. Not only that, the teachings here, what needs to be applied is that when the moon had the opportunity to shine like the sun, it had ego. How can it be two kings? Then it got diminished. So we have two things to apply here that, you know, when a tzaddik comes to the world is to make a mark on the world. And when he leaves behind him a legacy. And if you take this legacy and you learn it, is to apply the teaching. His teachings in one way is very deep, but very simple. He's teaching you two things. First of all, and most important, that this entire world is about connecting two opposites, taking two extremes and putting them together. So it can apply with something as simple as putting a husband and wife together. This is two opposites. And usually, the more the opposites they are, the better they'll work together. But in my life, everything is two opposites. Everything is taking two opposites and putting them together. Now comes a different problem, that if I apply to this approach my ego, then the result will be devastating, like what happened with the sun and the moon. The moon says, how can we share the same light? Ah, you can't share, you lose. If you have your pride and your ego, that you're not willing to take your crown off for a second for the benefit of somebody else, you can't share your seat, then you'll become the loser here, like the moon. It lost. It lost its own light, and only that, the only light that it's getting from the sun, it has to shine it out. The moon is so to say, it doesn't have its own light. So, excuse me? No. Everything, the stars also don't have their own lights. That's the sun that is reflecting on the stars. But nevertheless, the idea is that the moon doesn't have anything of itself. If it didn't have to, if it didn't apply its own pride, then it will also shine just as the sun. So there's two things to see here and to take into consideration. First of all, and most important, that my entire agenda in this world is just to connect two opposites. And everything in this world is going to be about connecting two opposites. Like I said, it can be something as simple as connecting with my wife. And most people, when they come to the marriage, they think that they have to change the other half. People don't understand that marriage is not about changing the other half. It's coexisting with the other half. And if something needs to be changed, it's me, not her. Or in your case, him. But nevertheless, I hope at least. But nevertheless, it's not like this only with my wife. It's with everything. Hashem constantly puts me with opposites. Can be my kids, can be my boss, can be my neighbor, can be my teacher, can be whatever it is. And Hashem is telling me, now let's see if you can work two opposites together. You know, there's a very famous prayer that everybody knows. Go to any congregation, Orthodox, Reform, Conservative, even though I don't like all these definitions. A Jew is a Jew. But go to any congregation, everybody, you'll tell them a certain prayer, everybody knows that. Oseh shalom bimromav. Oseh shalom bimromav, we oseh shalom aleinu al kol Yisrael. Everybody knows that. What does it mean, oseh shalom bimromav? He's making peace in the heavens. So it explains that there are two angels in Shemaim. One of them is the angel Michael, and the other one is the angel Gabriel. Gabriel is the angel of fire, and Michael is the angel of water. Water and fire can't exist. The same way that they can't exist in this world, then these two angels, so to say, can't exist in the world above. The fire comes down from the angel of Gabriel, and the water comes down from the angel of Michael. Hashem makes peace in his heavens, and he puts the angels together, and they coexist. Next week, we're going to read in the plague of the hail. This week, we're reading seven plagues. Next week, we're reading more plagues. We're going to read how in the plague of the hail was like these big balls. It wasn't like what we have now, these little balls. It was the size of a bowling ball, and it was consumed with fire. The ball came, just imagine this huge ball of ice, and was full of fire. So it says that the fire and water made peace. They joined together and they came down to break the klipa, to break Paro. But nevertheless, the entire idea of this world is to create two opposites. Hashem wanted to create the physical, create the spiritual, and now connect the physical and the spiritual together to coexist. And this is our should be our agenda in this world. But there's only one way of doing it. And if you listen to the prayer, Oseh Shalom Bimromav, Hu Yaseh Shalom Aleinu, it has the secret in it. Peace, Shalom. It's all about peace. Oseh Shalom Bimromav, Hu Yaseh Shalom Aleinu. The entire Torah is about peace. All the Torah is care about is just that there'll be peace. All our prayers is about peace. We finish the prayer of Shmona Esrei, Sim Shalom. With all the prayers, we say Kaddish, Yaseh Shalom Aleinu, Pirkat Kohanim, Ve'asem Lecha Shalom. Everything is peace. All the prayers that we have is with the word Shalom. So Hashem says, you need to connect to opposites. The only way of doing it is only peace. And then, the needless to say, the teaching with the moon, it's all about, in order to reach to that level, is to have the midah of anava, to be humble. If I have the midah of arrogance and geava, then I will never coexist with anything. So, specifically on this day, you know, the day of the passing of a tzaddik is a very powerful day, that he leaves a mark on the world. It's a day that we need to look in our life and to see how can I bring peace in my life between me and my wife, between me and my kids, between me and my boss, between me and my neighbors, and to internalize that my agenda in this world is to bring peace to the world, is to bring two opposites and to put them together. There is a Mishnah that we read every morning in Shacharit, and it says, what are the actions that are considered so amazing that I get the reward in this world and also in the world to come? And one of them, it says, you know, escorting a dead person, visiting the sick. One of them is making peace, Oseh Shalom Ben Adam LeChavero, making peace between one person and another person. So our entire agenda has to be about bringing peace between me and other people, between me and Hashem, between me and myself. And the only way of doing it is understanding that I need to be humble, that two kings can share two crowns. It's not about, oh no, if he's doing it, I don't want to do it. So we have to take that, this unbelievable teachings, and to merge worlds. It's all about merging worlds. This is called in the Kabbalistic term, Yichud. Yichud is that I'm making two things come together. There's nothing more greater than to take two opposites and put them together. Needless to say, if we apply that in our life, then our life will be full of peace. And most important thing, if we know how to apply that in this world, then we'll bring the ultimate peace to the world. And that can only happen when Mashiach is going to come. That's why the first king that built Beit HaMikdash, his name was Shlomo. Because Shlomo brought Shalom to the world. Peace. So this is what we want to take from this auspicious day. And to really meditate on the fact is, how am I applying this peace in this world? How am I bringing opposites together? How am I humbling myself to be able to apply that? And it's an auspicious time. It's like I always call these days like a Black Friday. You get a 90% coupon. So we should take a couple hours. If you can handle a couple hours, take a couple minutes. But a half an hour to meditate on the fact, what did this big tzaddik brought to the world? He brought the teachings of how can I make peace between things? How can I humble myself to understand that when I'm bringing peace down here, I'm making peace up there? When there's arguments down here, in this world, there's arguments in the world above. Then we wonder why we don't have Mashiach. Bezrat Hashem, we should apply this method of being humble, knowing how to diminish myself, how to know how to share, and needless to say, how to be able to share, spread this light with bringing unity and closeness to each other. Bezrat Hashem, we should merit to see the ultimate blessing from Hashem of the ultimate peace in our life.